Hello and welcome to the program UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about the spaceman of Ocean Beach. That's correct, the spaceman of Ocean Beach. Now, this article comes to us from pointloma-obmonthly.com. You know, when you talk about the world of UFOs and the UFO phenomena, there's lots of interesting and eccentric characters, and this week I just wanted to talk about this one right here. If you go to the site, and I'll have the links at the Ko-Fi and the locals website, they got a picture of this fellow, kind of an older guy with a long gray beard and suit jacket and all. It's a picture from clear back in 1992. It says, did Clint really visit the fifth dimensional world, Rillispore? Did he really see colors not in our color spectrum? Did he really channel a Rillisporean artist? Judge for yourself. And this is written by Eric Dunville, dated November 15th, 2023. One thing we learned in this space last month is that they are most definitely out there. The UAPs, that is unidentified aerial phenomena in the NHI, non-human intelligence. Nothing new, of course. Clint Gary was saying the same thing 60 years ago, repeatedly and frequently. Clint had firsthand information. He hadn't just seen a UFO, he'd been to Rillispore twice. In 1965, every kid on the beach in OB knew that. Clint loved to tell that story and many others. These weren't generic stories about little green men, by the way. No creepy gray space aliens either. Of course, this is in 1965, prior to the grooving 60s and 70s, I suppose. Things were a little different back then. The Rillisporeans were tall and beautiful. They came in peace. Theirs was a message of love and unity. Naturally, they worried about the foibles and follies of the people of Earth. Obviously, if you wanted to go with them when they came back, you needed a space number. Everybody knew that, too. And the only guy giving out space numbers was Clint Carey. Even if you didn't care about going to Rillispore and just wanted to be cool, you still needed a space number. As a 10-year-old, I certainly wasn't trying to be cool, and I don't know if I really believed the story about Rillispore. I guess I figured it could have happened, but either way, I would have been beyond stoked to have had a space number. One summer, my buddy's cute teeny bopper sister did get a space number, and we were both tremendously impressed. Lucky duck, we said. This might have been simply the perception of a fourth grader, but Spaceman, as the kids called him, seemed to prefer older girls in bikinis to sandy little boys. Go figure, it was so unfair. You kind of get a feeling for this guy. Even back then, there seemed to have been some real interesting people involved in the UFO phenomena. I never did get a space number, and I can't say I really knew Spaceman, but I remember him vividly. San Diego Union columnist Frank Rhodes liked to fill a few inches with Spaceman stories occasionally, and in August 1966, he reported an Ocean Beach housewife telling him that Spaceman was like a Pied Piper. The kids on the beach just adored him. He told them stories about his years in outer space. When I read that recently, I thought to myself, aha. My memory remains at least partially intact. That is exactly how I remembered it. The 1960s were a very different time. This was in the pre-hippie era when there may have been a greater tolerance of eccentric characters. I never heard it suggested that Clint was a creep, an occasional, if well-meaning, wino perhaps, and he could certainly create trouble for himself. In a 1966 instance that Rhodes described, Clint was spending a little downtime in the county lockup on a burglary beef. Probably a misunderstanding, but Clint didn't have the grand to post bail. Thousands of little children will suffer while I'm in here, he reportedly told Judge Robert O'Connor. Maybe dozens anyway. You might not be surprised to learn that Spaceman was known to embellish. I do not remember Spaceman when I was a teenager. He was around, but not on my radar. I was out of college in 1977 when Bob Oakes turned up at our yard sale on Del Mar Avenue one Saturday. I never parted ways with any records on purpose, particularly jazz records, so I don't know how the topic came up, but Bob told me that if I dug the jazz, I ought to show up at his place down by the pier on a Sunday evening. Bob was a well-known local reed man and famously hosted a recurring Sunday jam session. I did make it down to Bob's little cottage on the cliff the next day, and that's when I saw Spaceman again. An old-timer was playing trombone, and the guys were calling him Spacey. I didn't put it together right away. It had been quite a while. I hadn't even known Clint was a musician. Of course, when I was a kid, I didn't know he was a painter either. Greg Longway knew. That would be Commander Greg to you. My friends all thought Clint was just a weird old man, Craig told me, but I always knew he was an artist. They were friends for the next 26 years, the rest of Clint's life. Craig refers to himself as Spaceman's agent and occasionally as the son of Spaceman. Clint conferred on Greg the title of commander. Impressive, no? You'd think a guy like that would have a better than average space number, wouldn't you? How's XIB/23 grab you? Trust me, that's a dandy. Clint himself was XIB-2. XIB-1, of course, was reserved for the creator. Craig collects Spaceman's artwork, and if you have a Spacey original, he'd love to chat with you. Clint was born in Maine and grew up in South Pasadena. He took the toady, the trombone, in high school and found he had a knack for it following his graduation. Clint played with several traveling dance bands, sometimes known as Chico Carey. One morning in 1929, in his hotel room, daybreak following an after-hour jam session at a Mexico City chop suey joint, Clint had a life-changing metaphysical event. He recalled that all these beautiful, fantastic, etheric callers came into the room in every direction. They came in through the keyhole, through the cracks in the door and wall, through the pipes where the heat came in, coming in the window, coming out the window, and swirling around. These were callers that were out of this world that I had never seen before, callers that were not in our color spectrum. That wasn't all. Clint had the overwhelming feeling that more than callers, something or somebody, what he referred to as a profound presence, had come to visit him in that hotel room. The callers seemed to be talking to him, but not audibly. Thought forms and ideas were being transmitted directly into his head, and he was suddenly overwhelmed with the feeling of falling in love for the first time. Clint couldn't see or hear anybody, but he had been engulfed by a euphoric spiritual high. Now, this is something that we do hear sometimes from these people that have connections with these UFOs. Not sure what that's all about, but you kind of get the feel here. Clint starts out as this kind of eccentric, almost a little bit creepy guy sometimes, passing out space numbers to teenage girls. But then he tells you how it all started, you know, many decades before when he had this otherworldly contact, in his opinion. Goes on and says, what do you think? Craziest thing you ever heard? Just sit tight then, because it gets wilder. And no, I'm not making this stuff up. This part of the story can be found in a slender volume titled Spaceman, Volume 1, The Life Story of One of the World's Great Painters, as told to Linda Wilson, 1988. This is a short version. Clint was in the middle of what might now be referred to as a Type 2 encounter. The profound presence seemed to coalesce into a group of beings. At least that was his impression, and their communication, still via telepathic thoughts, became more specific, more like words he could understand. Clint was informed that his visitors were from a fifth-dimensional world known as Rillospore, and they had some plans for the young musician. They hadn't forced me to do anything, he said, but they had caused things to happen that made me come to Mexico City. It was a certain place they wanted me to be. At the time, they wanted me to be there, and they had certain things they wanted me to do. They wanted Clint to sell his trombone, take a train out to the coastal town of Colima near Manzanillo, and start painting. Just a slight career course correction. Clint was enjoying his fledgling career as a professional musician and was initially reluctant to consider selling his horn. However, he recalled that he felt such an overwhelming love for his new friends that his overriding intention became to do as they wished. The Rillosporians told Clint that he wouldn't need his trombone anymore anyway. We're going to make a great painter out of you, he remembers being told. You have a natural ability to become one. You'll probably have to teach yourself how to paint, but that's all right, because some of the greatest painters in the world were self-taught. So now he's met these guys, these aliens as he perceives them. They've told him that he's no longer going to be a musician, but he's going to be a painter. All this happened in just a few minutes. Clint did it as he had been directed. Over the next 18 months, benefiting from the patronage of the mysterious Senior Alvarez and Colima, possibly another contactee, Clint became a painter. Here we will advance the narrative a cool quarter of a century. Living in Hollywood in 1955, Clint considered himself a primitive abstractionist. His work was well regarded. His art was displayed in quite a few galleries, and he had several exhibitions under his belt. Had he been the first president of the Hollywood Association of Artists? Maybe. He made his living as a restaurateur for a number of years, and he was known to paint portraits on commission. Do any of those portraits remain? None has turned up. Upon moving to a studio in South Pasadena in 1957, Clint began picking up some good vibrations. He recalled having a series of very strange experiences, mostly in the form of vibrations that seemingly penetrated to the depths of his body, and a strange awareness of some intangible something that he couldn't quite put his fingers on. Clint began to paint in a completely different style. Through a phenomena he later termed metatelepathy, he seemed to be acting as a physical conduit for someone else. One evening, Clint hopped in his car with the notion of dropping in on a friend who had a cabin in the desert outside Joshua Tree. She wasn't home. What transpired next was the first of Clint's physical encounters with highly evolved representatives of the planet Rillispore. A cup of coffee, a blinding flash of light, and Clint found that he was not alone in the desert. He was asked if he'd like to take a ride, so he went. It was an enormous craft, a mile long, 10 levels, and beautiful to behold. Clint wasn't knocked out per se, but his consciousness was suspended while his metaphysical vibration was altered and he was acclimated to the speedy Rillisporean mode of travel. Now that's wild. So he starts off here, he has this almost like an epiphany where he says he may see extra-dimensional creatures, some people might call spiritual. He's been painting for a while, and then years later, he ends up on this spaceship with the same people, the same entities, rather. How quickly did they travel? Millions of miles per second. His host treated Clint with love and kindness and communicated with him telepathically. He brought up the speed of light thing and was astounded to learn that the Rillisporean's light doesn't travel at all. It only seems to travel to those of us stuck here in the third dimension. To them, light is evolved by the principle of reflection and is a symbol of understanding. So where is Rillispore, you might be wondering? Clint was told it is in the neighborhood of the Rigel star system, a four-star cluster that appears to us as a bright star in the constellation of Orion. Rigel is Orion's left foot or left knee, depending on how you draw the great hunter or giant, as he is referred to in some cultures. By our reckoning, Rigel is some 860 light years from our sun, and Rillispore is right around there, but in the fifth dimension. On the right of Rillispore, Clint found out that his impromptu jaunt to Joshua Tree in the middle of the night had been no mere whim. He also learned that his recent unusual series of paintings had been the work of Rillisporean artist Azora, for whom Clint had been a channel. Well, I'd like to tell you that a few of what is known as the Azora series had been preserved somewhere. Such is sadly not the case. Looks like this guy was into some really crazy abstract psychedelic art. Typical stuff from the 70s, really. Clint claimed to have been on Rillispore for maybe 5 days total over two visits. It was a gigantic, fantastically beautiful world, many times larger than our sun. The color spectrum there is twice what we can perceive in our dimension. Everything is huge on Rillispore. Massive plants and flowers, gigantic and intelligent animals, and birds, some of whom also communicated with Clint telepathically. He experienced no foul odors or harsh noises, no crime or malfeasance, no strife, no government, no war, no dog poop on the lawn. It was thoroughly lovely. Clint's guide was a big guy, maybe 9 feet tall, known as Baldasaur. Though Baldasaur wasn't strictly a guy as we think of it, because Rillisporeans are a homogeneous race into which male and female do not factor. They were rather darkly complected with shimmering silvery hair, but it was the fantastic array of colors that really moved the needle for Clint. Returning to Earth, Clint began to paint what he had experienced on Rillisporeans. He tried to paint that which he could not describe verbally. Many paintings that I have executed since my physical contacts were also done by caller telepathy, Clint recounted. The instructions being transmitted from Rillispore enabled me to execute these paintings almost automatically. Clint began to add fluorescent paint to his detailed and beautiful fantasies. The visual impact and depth that fluorescent colors add to an image are really only visible and appreciated under black light. Clint never painted using a black light. Clint arrived on Ocean Beach in 1963. He was befriended by Bob Oakes and continued to paint. He began telling people about his experiences. He found a ready audience and became a minor local celebrity. Clint appeared on the Bob Dylan and Regis Philbin shows and was interviewed several times by Larry Himmel. Clint's behavior became more erratic as he grew older, and though he sustained long, productive periods of sobriety, the bottle was not his friend. He would wear out his welcome and find himself on the street. If you saw what I saw on Rillispore and then came back to this dreary world, you would take a drink too, he said. Blind in his later years due to misadventure, Clint passed away just 30 years ago in October 1993. He led quite a life. An excellent selection of Clint's original artwork remains on display in the Blacklight Lounge of the Kilowatt Tap Room on Cable Street in Ocean Beach. It is a rotating exhibit on loan from the collection of Greg Longway. If you drop in, be sure to pick up a pair of 3D shades from a little basket there. Those corny shades add 6 to 12 inches in depth to some of those fantastic paintings. I can't imagine Clint would have anticipated that, would he? If you have an original Clint Curry, you are encouraged to contact Greg. Then it has his Gmail there. Definitely an interesting character. A lot of these people, it seems like they come back with their abduction stories, are interesting characters. Now, a lot of these people that we hear about today, the abduction stories they have are quite ominous. They seem to undergo a lot of procedures and have things done to them that aren't very nice. But Clint Curry, on the other hand, claims that he had a wonderful time there in the planet Real Spear in the fifth dimension. And he created these pictures to tell us about it. And the strange thing about them is he's doing this stuff with paints that show up in black light, but he's not painting them in black light. And then, like they say, you put the 3D glasses on and they look even different. So he claimed that he was channeling these images through an artist on another planet in another dimension. And when you look at the pictures, you have to wonder how he ever came up with some of the ideas that he came up with. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.